Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
Here we are going to be airing in November, so Halloween will have been over, thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for what did you, how did you handle that with your kids?
You know, it's funny you ask that, because I would handle it differently now than I did, just because I know more now than I did then.
Yeah, yeah.
I always had a bit of, you know, uncomfortableness, I should say, with Halloween. And so, you know, the kids were never allowed to dress up scary. Our churches, now there's a couple churches in New England that are doing trunk or treats. That wasn't a common thing when my kids were young, to have church alternatives in New England for this sort of thing. So we did trick or treat. They only got to wear the cute costumes, not the scary ones, that sort of thing. There was a set neighborhood that we'd go to that all of their friends jumped on a hayride and went, you know, houses in New Hampshire are farther apart, so it takes a little more navigating. You know, so we did that sort of things. We would have parties back at the house after or before that kept things in the vein of how we wanted them to be. And so that was all better. But, you know, hindsight, I don't think I would have, like now looking at my grandkids and thinking, what are they going to decide to do? I'm sure God will lead them in the right choice for them. But if I knew then what I know now, I wouldn't have even had them trick-or-treating, you know. But I will say it was very sweet. It was very benign in so many ways for what we did. But I think there were still things that I was unaware of in the spiritual realm that were going on that I should have been more, I wish I had been more aware of.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. And I'd say that's kind of where Linda and I wound up, particularly with our grandkids, because we knew more.
Right. You don't know what you don't know sometimes, right?
Later. But the one thing Linda did is she actually made it fun for the grandkids. Mm-hmm. And what we would do is we would go out and buy, you know, pumpkins, and then she'd have a big pumpkin carving party.
Mm-hmm.
With the kids and the grandkids. And even it got to be such a fun thing to do that the grandkids brought their friends because they wanted to be
now,
part of
it. Now, would this be instead of trick-or-treating, or would this be?
This would be something that we would do instead of. We did it a little bit ahead of Halloween, and then we would just encourage them to, you know, get together and just enjoy, you know, the season. But she would have.
Yeah, we did a lot of fall activity too, like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, and that was fun, and she made it fun, and it was a positive thing, and so it was fun. So anyway, it's, you know, we just keep encouraging people to, you know, keep working through that and look at it, and we're in this discussion of hurt and unforgiveness and the reasons for it,
mm-hmm.
and we talked about that God, and see, it's a. Interesting enough, it's a spiritual thing because why? God set the line of justice.
Mm-hmm.
So if he sets a line of justice and we have Christ within us, we are going to join that line. See, that we're going to have a sense of just or unjust. And he said life is really built around that, of mm-hmm. how you respond, because it impacts the soul. And he says, rightfully so. And so be angry and do not sin is what, when are you angry? When somebody crosses that line of justice, and see what God keeps saying is the line is real and your anger is real,
mm-hmm.
and the line is good. The anger is good. It drives you to do something about that crossing of the line of justice. And
mm-hmm.
now he says, as far as this concerning you and the way you live your life, if there's a line of justice and God set it and we're going to, you know, and be involved in it, which side of that line would we like to be on?
We'd like to be on God's side of that.
Yeah. Right? We'd like to be on the just side of that, on the righteous side of that, not mm-hmm. the unjust side of that. And He says, so one of the things as you learn this, because as you learn forgiveness and there's a line of justice, one thing that does happen that, well, wouldn't you like to stay on the line of just? And yeah, I would, you know. And so as you consider relationships, you consider things that you're asking other people to do or things that you say to other people or do with other people, is you start thinking, how can I stay in that line of just?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to cross that line of becoming unjust towards somebody else.
Right.
Because since there is a line and you have the possibility to live that line on the right side of the line, why don't you live there? And so your life actually becomes easier.
Right.
Because you become less offensive.
Right. You know, but all of that hinges on a heart posture of surrender and staying with God, abiding with him, staying in the kingdom and allowing him to lead your steps. Because the Bible tells us when he leads us on paths of righteousness, right? And so that will keep us. If we stay where he's leading us, it keeps us on the right side of that line.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is just a simple little funny example of we were up in Vail and we were there at Denny Nally and we rented this beautiful condominium in the Ritz-Carlton Club, which means that
a great view.
You're in both a nice condo, but you're in a club that does everything for you.
Nice. That's not a bad way to go, Rich.
So they clean your place every single day. They, you know, and we made coffee, for example, and they came in and would clean the pot, take out the grounds, get it all set. They cleaned the kitchen. They changed our sheets every other day. They cleaned our towels every day and cleaned our place every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, we need decaf. Okay, they bring it up. Hey, we need this. They bring it up. It was fabulous, you know. And we were enjoying it. And so we're getting ready to leave. And Linda says, you know, don't you think it'd be a good idea to leave a nice, you know, gratuity for those people that came into our room and did that work,
right?
You know? And the answer was, yeah, sure, that'd be good. And so she, you know, sets an amount that basically the amount that she wanted to do, and she wanted Allie to match it, you know, and it was a very high amount, you know, and my reaction was, well, you don't need to do that much. And we talked about, interesting enough, the conversation, and this is us, you know, we're driving it by logic.
Right. Right.
And we say, well, what do you think would be fair? And what would be fair would be this. And Linda says, why are you defining what's fair?
Go, Linda.
Isn't this the flow out of the covenant and our overflowing of blessing? And because we had such a grand time here, don't you want to be a blessing? You know. And now because she's raising that up, see, it went from what I was setting as my line of justice, which would have been an okay line.
Right.
That she was raising, well, don't we want to hear what God has to say about this? And maybe your line of justice is going to be moved a little bit, you know, and because we had a heart to do it, it wasn't like, nah, only do, it was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Let's go ask God. Yeah.
Yeah. And God said, yeah, I want you to be generous. And they were very generous. And it was, and I was thinking about even about this in regarding the line of justice is that, God's the one that guides us into it. And do you have a heart to go there? See? Because I was looking at it in two levels. Number one, I wasn't even thinking about leaving a tip because typically you don't.
Right.
You know, you tip service and, you know, et cetera. And I was, by the way, interesting enough, we had to go get a car every day and they valeted it. Every day I had to give them a tip for bringing the car up.
Right. Right.
And I was very generous with that. And, I didn't think a thing about
it. So this wasn't even on your radar. Yeah.
Yeah. But this wasn't on my radar. And so I'm not even thinking about it. So I think my line of justice is nothing in essence. And Linda raises it up as something. Okay. Yeah. Let's do it at this. Then I'm trying to set the line of justice. Denny and I, you know, being business logical guys is, you know, what's standard, you know, what's normal.
Right.
And the girls were like, well, aren't we supposed to be generous? And maybe God wants us to do more than normal. And, and it's like, yeah, I think so. So because I know this line of justice exists and God's the one who sets it, is that my heart is to always be on the side that he says to be on, at the level he says to be on it. And because we've learned that already, when that discussion came up, it wasn't no, no, no. It was, even though I wasn't thinking that way, and even the amount I wasn't thinking, Linda kept saying, well, don't we want to see what God has to say? Yeah. And the answer is, because I want to be on that place. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
I love that. I love the way you're bringing up there, because the very heart posture of, you know, it is very easy on all kinds of things all day long to go to logic and what is standard and what is normal, right? Right, I mean, even like I've even found myself, you know, somewhere and I look up, okay, what's the standard tip for such and such service, you know, whatever. Yeah, right, now you can look on AI and find in a heartbeat what the standard thing is. And so what a great reminder to us. And I love that Linda just so freely brought that up. I was like, you know, what are you talking about, Rich? That's not how we function. We don't function by what is standard, what is normal. We function by what does God have to say?
Right.
You know?
Yep. Yeah. So that was, it was kind of fun. So because of that line of justice, you know, it's our first thought is, Father, I want to be on your side of that, of that line. And keep showing me what that is and what does that look like. And it's going to be variable and it's going to be different. And remember, it's not a theological line. It's a real line for this situation. Mm-hmm. And people cross it and you're going to get angry. And what we're talking about is because of that, today we want to talk briefly about the source of that. But remember, that other party is the one sourcing it. Well, what about that other party? So first of all, let's look at that there are unbelievers who have no relationship with God, but they're all around us and we have to deal with them. So, and actually God describes them. So look at Romans 1, 18 and 25.
Sure. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
Okay. Now he's describing unbelievers. Mm-hmm. Fundamentally, what has an unbeliever done?
Rejected God.
And they've set lie as truth. They haven't, they haven't gone to any truth at all. And they've have become futile in their thinking and they're foolish. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now futile means that everything they're doing is worthless. Hmm. And they think it's right. They think it's good. They've exchanged pursuing the truth of God and knowing the truth of God and living out the truth of God for a futile existence, which is very self-centered, which is why they're rejecting God, is that I want to do what I want to do, and I'm going to gain the power that I have, and I want to overcome, use that power against people, and I'm going to hurt you. So are unbelievers going to hurt us all the time? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it can go, and I'm talking with somebody right now as an executive who is deeply, deeply, deeply angry at the way the government is being run. And, you know, he's upset about that, and he's mad about that, and he's angry about that, and he has unforgiveness about it. And that, and my question is really simple. Why does this surprise you so much? Mm-hmm. That a bunch of people who can do things against you do. And we know that there's even believers there, and we'll talk about that. But does that surprise you? And so an unbeliever is futile in their thinking, and they don't have a care about hurting you, the harshness of it, what it does to you, what you would say is unjust. What would they say?
It's just. Yeah.
Because they've redefined what just is. And see, God said, yeah, you know that there's a line of justice. I said it. They have no clue what that is. They reject what it is. And they're going to cross it all the time. And by the way, what are they going to think about crossing that line of justice? It's fine.
Right.
because my line of justice is way different than that. And I'm doing what I'm doing because I have the power to do it. So he said, don't be surprised so much that unbelievers can literally cross that line without any thought about it. And mm-hmm. they redefine it for themselves. Whereas they say, that's not a legitimate line of justice.
Right.
Because. So, okay, we're going to be faced with that. Let's go to Romans 8. Interesting enough, it says believers can be in that same place. Hmm. Romans 8:5-8.
Sure. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God.
Yeah. He's talking about believers. Paul's talking about believers. He said, if you set your mind on the flesh, self-centeredness, what I want, what I decide, you put to death the power of the Spirit. You're at enmity against God. And you cannot please God. Okay, now just think of that word enmity against God. And God just said to us that he sets a line of justice.
Mm-hmm.
That's his. If I'm at enmity against that, what do I think about that line of justice?
I'm disregarding it. I'm setting my own.
I disregard it and set my own. See, and he's saying a believer can disregard a line of justice and say, I'm going to set my own line. And now I want everybody to operate on my line. Mm-hmm. And I don't care that I've become an enmity against God. I cannot please God. And I'm not having any power of the Holy Spirit in me at all. And I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a believer. Okay. So, and here's the problem. Although not all of us get it, I can say, yeah, it doesn't surprise me that an unbeliever would be that. What does surprise you? A believer.
When a believer, yes.
And the question is, I hear this all the time, how can they act that way and treat me this way when they proclaim Christ within them?
Right.
Number one. Number two, how come God doesn't change them? Because they have God in them, so he should change them. So
right.
that they're acting correctly, you know, and God says, well, it's because they're not following me. I don't violate that. They're actually going to live at enmity against me and they're going to set their own line of justice. So why does that surprise you?
Right.
So it's about either one can be the source of this hurt. He says, I'll show you what to do with both of them and how to process this. But I need you to recognize that the world operates that way, and it includes both believers and unbelievers. Mm-hmm. And don't think it's just unbelievers and that the person who claims to be a Christian is on the right side of this. They're not.
Right.
They may not be. And now he says what really is underneath it all, and both of them, is this. Go to James 3, read verses 14. Let's see. No, what verses?
James 4, 1-6 we were talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah. James 4, 1-6. Yeah.
It says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another?
Yeah. Okay. So he says that quarrels, fights, hurts, oppression comes because why?
Because of our flesh.
Yeah. And what is the flesh doing? Is I'm judging.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying I want my way and I want to persuade you that I want my way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm being self-centered. I'm operating as the world does. So in other words, he's saying that believers wind up operating as an unbeliever,
mm-hmm.
which is, well, how does the world operate? Self-centered, logic,
right?
force my own sense of justice. I don't care. And of course, you know, today we have in our culture time, we have what's called cancel society, cancer culture. Mm-hmm.
Cancel culture. Yeah.
Is that if you oppose me, what do I do? What do I try to do?
Just negate you. Cancel
yeah,
you.
Yeah. Cancel you. I'll shut you down, get you to stop talking about this because you're irritating me. And I've said in my own, he said, the reason is that you're not coming to me. You're not asking me to share with you the line of justice. And both of you have come to that point. You're not, sometimes you say, God, would you take care of it? Which by the way, what he's implying here, the way that you're asking me to do it is change that other person.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you're asking amiss because the truth is the way that I function, I don't violate people's free will and I'm not changing this evil world per se, but rather that you would, function with me and seek what I have to say. So he says he opposes the proud.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, what does that mean? God says, this is all based on pride. And I completely come against that. Okay, what does that mean? What does the proud mean? What does it mean that you're proud?
That proud is relying on self.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's elevating self, your thoughts, your desires, your ideas, your logic. He opposes that. The humble actually understand that they need God, that they need his wisdom, that theirs is nothing without him.
Yeah. So sources can be believers, unbelievers. It all boils down to pride and self-centeredness is I want what I want. I become a judge. Mm-hmm. I say I'm right and you're wrong. And I'm going to work toward persuading you. And if I can overcome you with power, manipulation, control, I can do something to negate anything that you might do that doesn't please me in my line of justice. I'm going to come against you. And he said, so the whole thing is based on self-centeredness.
Mm-hmm.
Of what somebody else decides, and they can be very severe in their harm to me.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that they can be any source. So he said, don't separate a believer from an unbeliever per se. It's really what has that person done?
Mm-hmm.
And have they crossed the line of justice? And what are they doing with that line of justice that I need you to deal with, which will require forgiveness to get you back to freedom. And I'll have to show you reconciliation. So just because they're a believer, I don't want you to just say, I'll just ignore it. Mm-hmm. He said, no, matter of fact, maybe even more important to do it because my heart for them is to have freedom too. See, and we'll talk about that. So we just wanted to set up the sources. And then the real cause of it is the deep self-centeredness, and it can become very, very severe.
Right.
So Heavenly Father, we praise you for showing us. It's kind of clear in scripture and you make it clear. And so we help us understand that it can be both believer and unbeliever, and that the source of it is this deep sense of self-centeredness that quarrel and fight and argue and debate and manipulate and control because they've decided that they're right and they want to get their right and they want to get their way. And if we capitulate to that, we're going to go into a deep sense of anger and hostility ourselves that needs to be resolved. And we know that forgiveness is going to be the answers. Help us as we understand this, not be surprised by it. But now, Father, what do we do with that? And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks so much, Rich. And thank you for joining us, listeners. If you have questions from today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. Thank you, Father.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.